Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Welcome to Revive Her, a transformative space where we break down walls to unearth the incredible power that lies within every woman. We're your hosts, Haley and Noel.
Dive into candid conversations about entrepreneurship, faith, and relationships, and the journeys that define us.
Whether you're a woman who's walking the path of self-discovery or someone who desperately needs to feel understood, Revive Her is your safe space to learn, heal, and grow.
Are you ready?
Grief is a horrible, hard inevitable that teaches us about love and loss and gives us a perspective that we can't gain anywhere else. But often, it's something we don't know how to cope with in a healthy way. We think grief and loss is only around death, but it's more than death. It's losing friends, moving homes, changing churches, communities. It's loss of health, jobs, safety. It could even be experiencing trauma and the loss that comes with the emotional side that you feel with trauma. So in this episode, we want to break down all things grief. What does it mean to grieve? How do you feel when you grieve? Why is it important to grieve? How can Jesus help us through the grieving process? So we're going to break all of this down for you in this episode.
I feel like my life has been filled with so much grief. Mm-hmm. Like when I look over the past 10 years of my life, I'm like, man, I have really been through some grief. So I'm actually excited to talk about this today, because I feel like that there's been so many points when I'm like, man, I'm grieving. And it's not always death related, but I'm like, I'm alone in this. And I feel like nobody understands and nobody gets it. So I'm excited to talk about this, because sometimes we can be grieving and not even know it. So let's talk about the symptoms of grief.
I know that I've been there, like experiencing these really intense emotions. And I didn't realize at the time that it was grieving. It wasn't even a loss of a relationship. It was a loss of what it once was. The relationship completely changed. And it was I still had a relationship with that person, but it just wasn't the same. And it just wrecked me. You think that should be one way, and when you find out it's changed and it's kind of never going back, it's super hard. So no matter what the loss is, we all experience grief differently. You may feel like you're going crazy. You can have nightmares, start questioning everything you've ever known, but there are some major common threads to look for when you're grieving. So just remember that whatever your experience is, and whether we list it or not, just know it's normal.
So shock and disbelief. I feel like right after a loss, it can be so hard to accept what happened. And you might find yourself feeling numb or having trouble believing that loss has really happened to you. Or maybe you even deny the truth. If a pet or someone you love has died, for example, you may keep expecting them to show up even though you know they're gone. And I do this still. Like last year, we lost both of our dogs. And so Lucy was 14 and Willow was 10. And I still, to this day, we have a new dog. She's a crazy little baby golden doodle. But I find myself looking for Willow because she was always inside with us. And I call Olive Willow and I'm like, Willow. And I still find myself grieving her. And I'm like, am I ever going to get over this? People are like, she's just a dog. You know, I don't get it. It's just a dog. But I'm like, am I ever going to recover from this? It feels like we've really lost a piece of our family,
a relationship. Maybe you lost a friendship, or it's changed and you like, you go to text them a funny meme or a TikTok that you saw that you know that they would like. And then you're like, oh, wait, like I can't do that anymore. And then there's a sadness that comes with that in that moment. And that brings us to, like, you know, another thing, sadness. Obviously, that's a huge thing that you experience when you're grieving, is this profound sadness. And it's probably the most universally experienced symptom of grief. You may have feelings of emptiness or despair, yearning, loneliness. you might cry a lot, or you might completely shut down and go numb, like kind of like you said, and your emotions are up and down. It's a roller coaster. You're emotionally unstable. This is most likely the most common thread that if you're grieving anything at all, death or something beyond death, that someone feels.
And guilt. You may regret or feel guilty about things that you did or didn't say or do. Whew, this one hits me. Like, I've had so much guilt when it comes to loss and grieving. And you may also feel guilty about certain feelings, you know, feeling relieved when a person died after a long, difficult illness, for example. Or you may even feel guilty for not doing more to prevent your loss, even if it was completely out of your hands. And I know, a couple of years ago, I lost my pawpaw. He passed away, and it was sadness, but also this guilt. Like, man, I didn't make time. Like, I should have made more time. Yep. I should have not been so caught up in my career. Like, I should have went and visited him. Like, you have all these feelings. And right before that, we lost his wife, my nan, and I've had this guilt because she had dementia and I didn't go in the end because it was like, I didn't want to remember her like that, you know, and everyone would be like, she's so bad. Like, she's really bad. You need to go see her. And I could not bring myself to do it. It was like, I can't. And I heard my whole family. They're like, you know, I wish I wouldn't have went. Like, I wish I, and then you have this guilt, like, man, I should have went. Like, I should have just went one last time. She wouldn't have known me, but I should have went. And then fear. There's a fear, and I can attest to this too, because a significant loss can trigger a host of worries and fears. If you've lost your partner or your job or your home, for example, you may feel anxious, you might feel helpless or insecure about the future, and you may even have panic attacks. The death of a loved one, this one for me, it triggers fear about your own mortality, of facing life without that person or the responsibilities that you now face alone. And like I said, I've experienced so much loss. And I remember losing my Aunt Missy. She was 44. And everyone in my family has heart disease. And like, my grandmother died in her 40s. My uncle died in his 30s. My Aunt Missy passed in her 40s. And it's just like this fear. I mean, I will literally be sitting on the couch. My heart will skip a beat. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what's happening? Yeah. Like, just last night, I woke myself up. And I guess the position I was laying in, my heart was beating. And I shot up in the bed, like, what's happening? And it's that fear of like, man, am I going to be next? You know, this past year, having melanoma, I remember that it was like, that's what crippled me the most. Like, this fear, like, am I going to live? Am I not? And it's like, I'm very secure in my salvation. Like, I have so much faith. I can't wait to go to heaven. But it's like, Lord, like, I don't know. Am I going to go today? You know? And it's like, when you're faced with it, man, like, I have a lot of life left to live. Like, my kids need me. And I can relate to that fear still today is something that I struggle with.
This also relates to business. If you quit a job or leave a job, or maybe you're fired or laid off, or you're just changing careers or going a different direction, you can grieve even if you hated it, or, you know, if it was your decision to leave, like, you can still grieve a life that you once had there, you know, co-working relationships, relationship with clients, whatever it is, there's a grieving process if you lose a job or change jobs. And then there's that fear of, oh my gosh, am I gonna replace this income? What if I never get a job? What if I don't like the new people that I work with? What if I won't make it? What if I fail? Like, there's so much that comes on the business side that you can grieve, and things that happen that, in, you know, induce fear and sadness and guilt, all of the things that we've talked about. So it can go into the business side of things too. I think we forget that.
I've definitely been through that the last year, grieving the loss of people who once were people I did life with every single day. And as miserable as I was, as much as I hated certain things about that, the place I was, it was like, man, I really grieved the loss of the people. Like, I loved the people to my core, and you can grieve that. I've definitely been in a season, I feel like, of grief over the last year.
I'm now realizing, like, I feel like we're just going over the five stages of grief, because now we're going to hit on anger.
And it is a process. It is a process.
And the last one is, like, anger is a huge emotion. Even if the loss was nobody's fault, you may feel angry or resentful or bitter. If you lost a loved one, of course, I've seen so many people, both Christians and non-Christians, get so angry with God, or doctors or even the person who died for like abandoning them. There's so much anger. Yeah. And I, this is so weird as we're talking about it. It's like, I grieve for other people when they're angry at God and they're like, you know, I don't believe in God because how could a God allow this to happen? Or how could a God allow all of this to happen in the world? And, you know, I grieve for them because I'm like, they're never going to know that that's just not how God operates. That's, I grieve a relationship that they don't even have yet. Like, it's like, they're like, I will never believe in your God. I will never have a relationship with this Jesus person. And I get sad and it's like, oh, I'm grieving something they've never even known because it's just not that way. And like, that's sad to me. So that's something that happens with so many people. They just get angry and blame other people for their circumstances. And a lot of people, I think, get stuck in that phase and they just never come out of it. There's just so much anger that builds up because of this loss. Again, whether it's death or something beyond death that that's they just the can't
trap.
Get past.
It's like, that's the trap in grief is the anger.
And grief isn't always emotional. There's physical symptoms as well. So sometimes like, you might be numb and feeling nothing, but you are experiencing fatigue. You're experiencing weight loss or weight gain. You can't sleep. You have insomnia. Your body aches. Like, you have nausea. You're having panic attacks. So you might think you're mentally fine, but if you have any of these physical symptoms, your body is like, the grief is coming out through your body. You're having physical grief.
It's almost like a stress relief. Like, your body is like relieving itself of all of that stress that is related to grief.
So what does the Bible say about grieving? In the book of Psalms, David repeatedly grieved. Like, it's actually kind of comical if you just go read. Like, David's like always complaining about something. And like, it's like, woe is me.
He's a hot mess.
Yes, he is. But it's so relatable. Yeah. He poured out emotional pain to God when he felt distant from God, when his son died, and then when Saul chased him. And David lost a sense of safety then. If you look at Job, Job faced unimaginable losses compounded on each other. Like, he lost family, cattle, like land. Like, he, I mean, Job lost everything. So of course he was grieving all of these losses. And then Jeremiah is called the wailing prophet because he lamented over Israel. And then Jesus grieved himself. The most famous verse in the Bible for being so short, Jesus wept, John 11:35. Like, that's all the scripture is Jesus wept. And he felt moved by the loss of Lazarus. Like, Lazarus was his best friend, so he grieved that loss of his best friend. And throughout the Bible, we see grief appear as a common experience. But what's really cool is, if you read the Bible, if you see all of these experiences of grief, it's without shame, it's without guilt, and it's without condemnation. Grief becomes a pathway to deep feeling, and it reveals these vulnerable needs. And then there's something good that has come out of every time someone has grieved. If you study it, there's always a positive spin. Like, that beauty from ashes is there.
So how do we work through grief and allow Jesus to heal us? Number one, I feel like we have to let the emotions out.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever just felt the urge to cry or to get angry or to ask questions? It's important not to brush aside what's bubbling up inside of you, because our emotions are like signals, and those signals point us towards something that we need.
Mm-hmm.
They push us towards action. And sometimes that action involves simply allowing ourselves to feel a part of the process of moving forward. And I feel like people always view crying as a symbol of weakness. Mm-hmm. But to me, I feel like crying sometimes is the true symbol of just like cleansing.
Yeah.
Right. It's like a strength thing. Like, man, I gotta just let this out. I cannot keep holding this up. And I am so bad to just let this out at the most random times. Last week I was on a one-on-one call and I literally turned it on. I saw like one of my girls on there. And I lost it, man. Aww. Her face, she looked at me so crazy. But I'm like, I'm so sorry. I was like, I just felt this release. I had to let it out. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, moving on. You know, I could have held that in as a sense of like, no, I got to look strong here, you know? But it was like, no, I got to cleanse myself of this, because there are moments when the intensity of emotions, especially during those times of grief, might need to be set aside temporarily for safety or practical reasons. But we can always find spaces. I feel like when it's okay to let those emotions out.
Yeah. Don't be crying, like going down the road. I've had some intense worship sessions like, I was legitimately almost wrecked. Yeah. So like, let's maybe not let our grief yes. out and the emotions like while you're driving down the road or something.
Yes. Or the shower. Like sometimes Drew will pop around the corner and I think he thinks like, oh, I'm going to yeah. catch a peek in the well in the shower. And I'm literally sobbing and it's immediately like,
oh, I'm going to back out.
Oh my gosh, are you okay?
Slow me back out of here.
I'm like, I've told you time and time again that this is my safe space. And it's like, I just unleash in mm-hmm. the shower listening to praise and worship music. And I let everything out. But when you sense those emotions emerging, give yourself permission to feel them. Mm-hmm. You don't always have to fully understand them right away, but it's important to let them pass through you and to be processed in their own time.
Mm-hmm. Another thing is to grieve with yourself, but also grieve with other people. Grieve with people you find comfort yes. in. So grieving alone, like there's benefits to both. Grieving alone lets you do whatever you need in the moment without feeling judged, without worrying what people are thinking. Like you can be as crazy, emotional, gross, whatever you need. Or if you just need to sit in silence and be reserved, then you're not being judged for not being super emotional. Like whatever yeah. it is, that like grieving alone allows you to be exactly as you need with no hindrance. Plus, and this is really important, it gives us time to talk to God and spend time with Him interrupted. Mm-hmm. It's where we can make space for God to speak to us.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like that's an important part that we forget mm-hmm. a lot of times, that we need to be still.
Mm-hmm. But as necessary as grieving alone is, God also made us to grieve with other people too. And in Romans, it even says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. So when we allow others to grieve with us, we get something that we can't get doing it alone. So like I said, there are benefits to both, but there are neurons in our brain that respond to other people's facial expressions and experiences. So like there's something like actually scientific and chemical that happens through these caring experiences with others. Like our brains are actually affected and changed, and we can find our way to healing and gaining new perspectives. Like grieving with other people can broaden this narrow mindset we have, or we might be having these blinders on into this only this one perspective or only this one emotion. So like as iron sharpens iron, yeah. like people can sharpen you in those moments of grief.
It gives people a chance to breathe life into you yeah. too in those moments. And so you know that you're not alone. Just like I said earlier, in my deepest moments of grief, I have felt so alone. And mm-hmm. I feel like when you grieve with others, it gives you that comfort in knowing that yeah. you're not alone in it.
Yeah. And there's a time for both.
Yes. So number three is accept reality. We have to come to terms with the truth of our circumstances and relationships, both before and after mm-hmm. experiencing loss. Accepting reality is crucial for navigating grief in a healthy way. It's natural to feel a mix of emotions like sadness, anger, or confusion when our hopes and expectations aren't met, especially in our connection with others. So mm-hmm. continuously hoping for things to be different can put unnecessary pressure on ourselves mm-hmm. and those around us. And that prevents us from embracing the good that God has in store for us.
I think like people live in the what ifs or yeah. I should have's or it could have been this or well, you know, just all of the like yeah. the false things in our brain. And like it goes directly against accepting reality. Like it's normal and you're going to go through that.
Yeah.
But it's how long do you stay in those thoughts? How long do you stay in that yeah. mindset? Where is it taking you? Like that's the issue. So we're not saying you can't ever do that. That's silly. Yeah. That's human nature. You're right. going to do it. But there comes a point in time that you just have to accept reality for what it is.
And choosing acceptance means confronting the truth about who someone or something was or who they won't be, at least for now.
Mm-hmm.
Acceptance involves acknowledging both the positive and the negative aspects of a situation and mourning the things that we cannot attain.
Mm-hmm.
For example, it might involve you grieving the absence of loving care from a parent who couldn't or wouldn't provide it. Mm-hmm. Healthy grief recognizes the loss of love, kindness, or the desired changes that never materialized.
Mm-hmm. Something my therapist said to me one time is, as far as like grieving a relationship that still exists, it's just changed or you're not getting this thing from this relationship that you should be getting. Like mm-hmm. if it like this, it just said a parent. So if you have a bucket and you're going to a well to fill it with water because you need this bucket full of water. If you keep going to this well that's dry and you expect it to give you water and you're wanting to yeah. fill your bucket up, but it never gives water. Like, why do you keep going back to this yeah, well? Good. Like, why is your reality? Okay, well, maybe one day this well is going to fill my bucket mm-hmm. up with water. You see it's dry. It's never yeah. going to have water. Yeah. So go find another well and fill your bucket. Yeah, it's not going to taste the same. Probably won't look the same. It may not fill your bucket all the way up, but you're going to get something from another well that you can't get from this well. So like you just have to accept the reality that this well is never going to produce water.
Yeah.
But you can get a different type of water from another type of well and it'll still fill your bucket. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's really good.
It was really profound to me. Like I remember that often. Thanks, Sid. The next one is recognize losses that may feel unrecognized. And so what I mean by that, one of the most challenging forms of grief is when we lose a connection with someone who's still alive. I keep saying this over and over. This kind of loss can stem from divorce, the decline of physical or mental health, the end of relationships due to someone's decisions, or the need to have healthy boundaries. That will definitely change the dynamics of a relationship. The losses we experience from relationships that fade away while the other person is still alive, it might not always feel understood by other people. You might have been told to just be thankful for what you have left, mm-hmm. but and that's good, but it's important to recognize that we can appreciate the good times while also acknowledging the reality of the loss that we want to grieve in a healthy way. And I've experienced that multiple times. Like, thankfully, I've not had a lot of like really close people around me die. Like, I have had, friends and family members die, but never anyone like so close to me yeah. that it absolutely just wrecks my existence. But I yeah. have had relationships that I've lost, or friendships that I've lost, yeah. or changes in relationships and friendships. And it's just necessary to feel that yeah. change, and it's necessary to feel that loss. Another type of loss that might feel overlooked just by society in general is when we make positive life changes. This is interesting because while we might be excited about these decisions, like a new job or embracing new challenges as an entrepreneur, they often come with leaving behind what was familiar. Mm-hmm. And these losses related to personal growth are still losses,
yeah.
and they deserve that acknowledgement. So while you might be making huge business moves, that means you're leaving behind something somewhere. Yeah. Something somewhere's changed.
Yeah, I feel that. And me personally, like, you do lose friends. Mm-hmm. I've always heard, what is that quote? Like, that new levels, new devils, mm-hmm. or whatever it is. Like, that is so true, because mm-hmm. you might be going to new levels in your life, but you might be facing like leaving your friends, yeah. Or you're not as available as you used to be, or mm-hmm. you can't go to girls' night, or, like, you have goals and you have dreams and all of this. And I've grieved the loss of those friendships in my life mm-hmm. over the last 4 years, for sure.
And it could be something as simple, and what we feel would be silly, as maybe you're a small business and you have just boomed. You've become an agency. You've gotten like so big. You're making millions. You can't manage your social media by yourself anymore. You've gone from 2,000 followers yep. that you're really intimate with to maybe a million followers. Yep. And it is just physically impossible for you to be able to sit and respond to yep. every single person, give them that love and care that you once mm-hmm. did when you were a small business. So you can grieve that intimacy that you had with your community, because you're just one human. You physically can't respond to right. all of these messages. So it could be something as simple as that. And that matters. Like, it's okay to feel that. It's okay to grieve something as small as that. Like, grief doesn't always have to be this huge, huge loss. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. Next, you want to allow room for grief to breathe. Grief doesn't adhere to a strict schedule. If someone suggests that you've been grieving for too long, they might be projecting their own discomfort mm-hmm. with loss. Others might impose their expectations on us regarding how quickly we should recover from grief. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it's nobody's place to tell us.
I know, I've seen this happen. I'm like, dude, like, what is, let them be.
Yeah, people just constantly telling you, like, it's time to get over it. It's time to mm-hmm. move on. It's time to do this. Like, You're the only person that can decide that. So, however, if someone urges us to move on, or if we feel pressured to rush through grief, it is important to pause and reflect, because grief might have transformed into depression, yeah. or mm-hmm. we might have been denying it in the space that it requires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a healthy balance there. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're still in this deep, deep grieving process 5 years down the road, and it's affecting every area of your life, it's not healthy at that yeah. point. So there's definitely a balance. Like, you don't have to feel rushed, but are you grieving in a healthy way?
Yeah.
Or are you grieving in an unhealthy way that's keeping you stuck?
Right. Because emotions need time to settle, and we need space to adjust to our new circumstances. We can't rush the healing process by ignoring our emotional needs or by avoiding actions that align with the person that we aspire to become in our changed reality. Mm-hmm. It's about honoring our own pace and giving grief the time and attention that it deserves.
Mm-hmm. And so, to like wrap it up, why does confronting grief matter? Unchecked grief sets off a chain reaction of consequences. Internally, our bodies bear the burden of heightened stress. So it can physically affect us, impacting our immune systems and our vitality. So externally, we may find ourselves reacting emotionally in ways that seem disproportionate to the situation, often due to unresolved grief that's lingering beneath the surface. In failing to address our grief, we risk becoming wounded individuals. We risk this root taking hold in our life and infecting every single area of our life. And it can change your personality. Yeah. It can change how you live. It can change who you become. It can quite literally change the whole trajectory of your life. And this can inadvertently cause harm to those around us, not just ourselves, but to everyone around us as yeah. we evade the healing process. As Christians, we hold on to the hope of God's presence and his guidance regardless of our circumstances. He has provided us with healthy avenues to navigate grief, and he promises us a life of abundance as he intended. Go back and read John 10:10. Like, he promises us abundant life and life more abundantly. So just remember, like, grief is not unbiblical. There are so many aspects of grief in the Bible. It is a necessary thing. We have to grieve. Grieving mm-hmm. is vital, but it's vital to grieve in a healthy manner.
We want you to remember one thing. You are not alone. There's no roadmap for healing, and it is not linear. Reach out for help when you need it, and know that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And always give yourself grace. Mm-hmm. So we want to invite you to revive your spirit by meditating on this scripture. It's Matthew 5:4. It says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And if you want to go deeper, download our 7-day guide to revive your spirit in the show notes.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.